You're listening to Alumni Aloud, a new podcast by Graduate Center students for Graduate Center students. In each episode, we talk with a GC graduate about their career and the advice they would give current students. This series is sponsored by the Office of Career Planning and Professional Development at the Graduate Center.
Julia Gruber graduated with a Master's in Liberal Studies from the GC. She's working for the Mayor's Office in New York at the Center for Faith and Community Partnerships. She got this job after interning with the New York State Assembly Graduate Internship Program, which is a paid opportunity for graduate students and recent graduates to serve as full-time staff researchers and policy analysts for New York State Assembly leaders, committees, and professional staff. In this episode, Julia speaks with us about the satisfactions of working in the public sector and how academic training prepares you for a wider range of job possibilities than you might expect. She's interviewed by myself, Anders Wallace, a PhD candidate in anthropology here at the GC. Could you tell me your name and then a bit about what you're currently doing for a living?
Sure. My name is Julia Gruber, and I just graduated with my master's in liberal studies, and my focus was in political science and sociology. I was in the International Migration and Global Cities track, and now I'm working for the city. I'm working at the mayor's office. I'm working at the Center for Faith and Community Partnerships, which is a relatively new office that started in April, and we connect faith and community-based organizations with different city programs and partner with them to help get city services to all the New Yorkers who could benefit from them. And at the same time, we see what they need that the city is not providing, try to bring their feedback back to City Hall and get them better set up with what they need.
So it's channeling city services through these faith-based communities and organizations.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're using houses of worship and community-based organizations to kind of as a conduit, and at the same time, we're a conduit in the other direction for them with their concerns to get back to City Hall and the mayor. So we're a big presence at town halls. The mayor is holding a town hall in every council district until the end of the year, so we have 21 more to do. And so we're at all of the town halls along with other CAU staff. And a lot of times, if someone's having an issue, they can come and we can kind of be a clearinghouse and help direct them either to the appropriate agency or we can help them solve their problem. I mean, you definitely see a large swath of the city. I mean, one of the things I've learned is that you can't pigeonhole or put into a box any religious denomination. And even though we all like to think we don't do that, there's, of course, implicit bias and historical interactions that I have that I bring to my interactions with other people, but the reality is it's just such a vast spectrum of people within every religion. So that's been very informative.
Could you speak a bit about how it is that you came into this work role that you're currently doing?
Yeah. So last year I was an intern at the New York State Assembly in Albany. They have a very robust internship program with about 100 undergrads, and there were 8 or 9 grad interns. So I was a graduate intern, and it was great. I had a ton of experience and just was put into so many different situations, really just doing the work of a legislative aide with an assembly member. And that was great because my background before I entered the grad center was in community organizing and working in nonprofits. So I was really excited to like be kind of on the other side and see, you know, how funding decisions get made and how legislative decision gets made. So after doing that, I wanted to continue working in government and was just thrilled to have the opportunity to work at the mayor's office.
That's sort of a natural progression then from working in Albany in the internship.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they would have been happy to have me stay on in Albany, but I live down here, my family's here, so I couldn't stay up there. And then it's very different work in the district from being in the chamber. Totally a completely different world. I would say that the work I did upstate was maybe a little bit more intellectually stimulating because I had a lot of latitude in doing my own research to, you know, when I would make a recommendation on a bill or agitate for something that I thought was really important that the assembly member participated in, like a working group or something, I could bring some skills I had at writing and present them effectively. effectively. I mean, that's definitely happening now, too. I've only been on the job for, like, 6 or 8 weeks, but I'm doing a lot of the writing for the team. Mm. And so one of the main differences is that now I have a lot more, like, front-facing constituent relationships, whereas upstate it was all the meetings that I took with or on behalf of the assembly member were with extremely high-level workers in different parts of the government or in the private sector. So now it's different. I'm one of those government workers, and I'm not high-level. So it's like a different group of people that I'm interacting with now. But that's still good.
Can you talk a bit about your academic background and where you were? You mentioned doing the master's at CUNY, and could you speak a bit about that and how that maybe then fed into your current work?
Yeah, sure. I went to Sarah Lawrence as an undergrad, so I'm really into independent research and spent about 6 years before I went back to grad school because I wasn't sure what kind of degree program I wanted. And I graduated in 08, which was the recession happened right then. So it was like a really terrible time to finish undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very much like, you know, there's no place for a liberal arts degree. Oh, man. And it was really like, I'm not going to get a job. And what am I going to do? And so I went abroad. I had studied abroad during college, and so I went back to where I had studied abroad.
Where was that?
The intent of doing that was Nepal. So I went back to the part of Nepal that I'd been in before, where I still knew a bunch of people. It was only like 3 years later. And I had the complete intent to do ethnographic field work and just kind of document the lives of my friends in this village and then kind of do some kind of comparative project, maybe like a video project, to see what's going on, you know? And then I went there and I didn't do any of the research, but instead got very involved in Dharma and so became just really focused on religion.
Wow.
So I came back. Yeah, so it was like very good experience, but not academic. So when I came back to the U.S., I got involved with community organizing, and after doing that for a few years as a member leader of a faith-based organization, I was like, I want to go back to school. And I thought, what am I really going to do? Like, am I going to get a PhD? I don't know if I can really, like, think about the enormity of doing that.
Yeah.
It felt pretty overwhelming. And I'd worked in nonprofit communications, and I was, like, definitely not interested in doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle the stress over what felt like my new things. And also a complete, like, lack of control over larger goals organization-wise. That was also because of the kind of organizations that I was in. They weren't, like, modernizing. Like, okay, I don't want to do nonprofit communications. Like, I don't really want to work in the nonprofit sector. I just can't imagine myself being really fulfilled, like, doing 9-to-5 kind of experience. So, back to grad school, when I found liberal studies, I thought, oh, this is great. What I want to do is study the intersection of immigration and labor, because a lot of, particularly elder care and domestic work, because a lot of what I had been doing as an organizer was working with immigrant domestic workers in New York, and particularly in the Nepali community. So that was kind of how it all came together. And so I was like, which track do I do within liberal studies? And finally, I just settled on the international migration track, which was great, and I got a very robust background in that. And I wrote my thesis on the history of domestic worker organizing.
Wow.
So that was with a political science advisor. And so that's been really great, because now in my current work, you know, we're working with different groups that I've worked in different capacities in the past, putting on Know Your Rights training for domestic workers.
So it's almost like the circle has come back around.
Exactly, because, you know, luckily in this position, I have the opportunity to engage with CBOs and faith groups however my skills allow me to.
Yeah.
And I have this, like, deep relationship with different worker and employer groups in the city. And a lot of those groups are either, like, ethnic solidarity or faith-based groups. So it's been, you know, really great to be able to take the skills and the specialties I developed in grad school into this new position.
What skills and knowledge that you gained in grad school have you found useful in your current work?
Definitely writing, analytical skills, being able to parse information and, you know, identify credible sources. Like right now, we're doing a lot of work around the federal budget, so being able to read and synthesize the information and then translate it into something that's understandable by people who maybe don't have a master's degree. Time management, people management. I went to like a lot of the career services seminars, and I can't remember who, but one of them was talking talking about how a lot of the skills that grad students don't necessarily think of as being applicable outside of grad school actually are definitely applicable outside of grad school, like working independently and having a deadline and, you know, being able to take information from one context to another. Especially in politics.
I think that's really important advice. I think so many students don't grasp that these are skills in and of themselves. So it's good to have that reminder. Could you talk a bit about, like, what's a typical day in the office?
Yeah, I would say probably about a third of my time is spent meeting with constituents or clergy or directors of CBOs. So we figure out, like, ways we can partner with each other. There's some long-term planning going on. You know, we figure out ways we can partner with each other in terms of what services do we provide that they could use. So, like getting, for example, with the domestic workers, Know Your Rights training, making sure that employers know what the laws are, that if you are hiring someone, you have to pay them overtime at X number of hours, you know? So, like, yesterday I met with
a partner organization,
which is a major organization that does a lot of social service work. They have, like, career readiness programs, and we work closely with the Department of Small Business Services. So we could, like, hook them up with trainings on MWBE certification or workforce development initiatives. So it's like they've got an audience and we've got a product and we can bring them together. Or then just, like, kind of listening to what clergy are saying the needs of their community are. So a couple of my colleagues, they just formed a homelessness prevention working group, and they had two nights last week where clergy and CBO leaders came to our office and did, like, a two-hour kind of brainstorming session about, like, what kind of information would you like to see in the toolkit? The toolkit for clergy and CBO leaders when they're members or clients or congregants or whatever are coming to them in a housing crisis situation. Like, what do they need to know that they can tell them that they haven't been able to find in one place before, you know? So compiling information on whatever different topics people are asking us to have the information about. And then, as I said, we work a lot of mayoral events, whether it's parades or town hall meetings, things like that. We're able to call our own task forces. So I'm working in an intergovernmental capacity with Department of Health and the City Commission on Human Rights and my department on creating a toolkit for clergy who are interested in becoming more affirming to LGBTQ community members.
And you,
whether it's actually members of their congregation who are queer in some way or, like, family of their congregation who are queer and the family is saying, I don't know what to do about this.
Yeah.
So we're reaching out to faith leaders. I mean, we're not telling anyone what their beliefs should be, but we're just saying if they have a need, this community has a need for being respected in a house of worship if they want. You know, we have the connection to all the clergy. We're like the mayor's relationship with houses of worship. So we're all equally involved in propelling the work forward and developing the toolkit and, you know, the invite list and figuring out how do we facilitate a group of 40 people from different faith backgrounds and different familiarity and comfort levels with the LGBTQ community? How do we help them talk to each other and, like, come out of this feeling like they've spent 4 hours in a productive way?
What do you wish people knew about your work that they might not really get from a first impression?
Well, that's a really great question. Before I worked up in the assembly, I remember I would see things online about, like, call your senators, call your assembly members, and always felt way too intimidated to do that, even as someone who is a lifelong activist. I was, you know, very nervous and shy about who's going to answer the phone and felt like I wasn't equipped necessarily to talk with them. So working upstate and getting calls from constituents all day long, then it was like, oh, it's just me. I'm the person who's answering the phone. It's someone just like me who's answering the phone in the sense that it's an employee of the government who, like, works for the constituent. It's just a regular person who's totally happy to answer the phone call and give me the information I'm asking for. And especially now that there's so much what's going on in D.C., you know, we see these calls all the time online, like, call so-and-so, and it made me feel a lot more empowered. So it's just, like, normal people who work in the government. I also didn't quite understand how many people there are, but there are a lot of employees. You can be kind of, you can be very isolated, very siloed from different work and different departments. So I think that the city on the whole is, like, moving towards making sure that the communication flows a little bit better between the departments, so we're, you know, all doing the same thing. I've been very lucky to have great, flexible supervisors in both these positions, the assembly last year and now, where I've had a lot of freedom and responsibility. So it doesn't feel like drudge work. It doesn't feel like everybody's trying to get out of there at 5 o'clock. It's really people who are committed to their work because it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. Mm. We routinely have 12-hour days, and that's like, I did not think of myself as someone who wanted to do that before. Mm-hmm. But I have found I love the kind of group element of it. I love working together with people in a way that we are all like on the same page towards the same goal type of thing. And it's really like a club. It's like there's a strong sense of camaraderie. And also something I love about working in government is it's extremely diverse mm-hmm. on every front, race, age, class, where people live now, what people's interests are, who they're exposed to and familiar with. I'm often like the only white person in the room or the only, you know, upper middle class person. Uh-huh. The thing that is constant is most people are born and raised New Yorkers, as I am. So that feels good. It's like we all went to public school. It's New York. It's mm-hmm. all of New York working for New York, and that feels great.
A sense of community pitching in. What is it you find most rewarding about your job? Anything else or the challenges? So the pros and the cons?
I really also love how much independent direction and control I have over what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some things that, like, I just, you know, we all have to do certain kinds of work. But I feel like I get to lead these initiatives that I'm really passionate about, like this Know Your Rights training. I'm, you know, playing a big role in the LGBTQ faith initiative. Those are the two big things I'm working on. I have a background in web design, which I did as a freelancer for a few years. We don't have a website yet even. So I'm working with our IT department to like move the content forward. And I feel like I've asserted myself in a way of saying, you know, I'm a writer. And mm-hmm. so I'm given the latitude to do a lot of the writing.
Was there a point that you thought of having a life in academia? Or did you always know that your training was going to lead you outside of academia?
I mean, everything you hear is about how it's impossible to get tenure at a school you want to be at unless you're like number one of the number one of the number one. And mm-hmm. so I never thought I would be a professor the way I had professors at Sarah Lawrence. The idea of having to constantly be in a publishing situation, publish or perish, right? Like, if I don't have that motivation, that's going to be really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted a life that I have a lot of my own time to do my own stuff outside of work. Which is why I was saying before, like, I was shocked that I'm not miserable if I have to stay till 6 or 6:30. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I like the work so much. And I mean, maybe that would have materialized in academia too, but it felt difficult to imagine that. Mm-hmm. And I've also never really had an affinity for teaching, I don't think. I have a little bit of stage fright, so I can't, like, I'm not interested in that. So, I mean, I love being in school so much, so I definitely haven't ruled out the idea of possibly getting a PhD, but then I don't think I would take that PhD and go into academia. I would probably bring it back to policy work.
Are there any skills that you recommend that GC students might look into acquiring if they're interested in work in government?
I mean, it's so different to be in a workplace environment than to be in a classroom. I think it made a huge difference to me that I took time off between undergrad and grad school to be, like, in the, quote, real world. The kind of language that we use in academic classroom and the way that we interact and argue with each other in positive ways does not translate necessarily to work in the public sector. Mm. So that's definitely something to keep in mind.
Yes.
Being able to, like, engage with people on different levels.
Are there anything that I didn't ask that you want to sort of share or contribute or you think might be useful?
Yeah, I guess I just want to say that, as I mentioned earlier, I've been to a bunch of the career services events, and one of them was so, so helpful. I think it was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an all-day alt-ac conference, and there were professionals from all different fields, and you just kind of could go around in different, like, sessions, and it was great, and it made me feel like I can do anything. Mm. I'm equipped to, you know, if I have these basic fundamental skills of research, writing, people, person skills, you know, soft skills in addition to, like, tangible knowledge about a certain issue,
mm-hmm.
I can do anything, and I could pitch a show and work at CBS and be a producer, or I can, mm-hmm. like, run a think tank, you know? I felt extremely empowered from that. And having now worked in government and been extremely warmly received and, you know, had people say, oh, wow, you have such an interesting background, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's a master's in liberal studies? But it's actually been really great. And
yeah.
It's so cheesy, but you don't have to be limited by what you think you can do. Like, there's so much more that you can do.
That's really great advice.
Especially, like, it was a huge turn from graduating at the beginning of the recession in 08 and being like, there's no place for me, there's no place for liberal arts, like, STEM, I should have done STEM.
Mm-hmm.
And now being like, actually, I'm succeeding in the career path that I want, and I have multiple other paths to choose from if I want.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Alumni Allowed podcast, coming to you from the Office of Career Planning and Professional Development at the Graduate Center. Be sure to stay tuned for more perspectives from alumni across fields who are working in academic and non-academic jobs. Also, be sure to look up our online resources at careerplan.commons.gc.cuny.edu and like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter for updates from our office. Thanks, see you next time.